Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hi, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Sarah Michelle. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
It's really exciting to have you on the show today. And I'm just going to introduce you as the owner and the founder of People Architecture. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about that? In terms of, I know you said to me it's a HR company and you're about developing people. So just give my audience just a little summary as to what your company is about.
Okay. So what we do is I am an HR professional. I've been in HR for over 20 years. And when it was time to start an organization, it's like, how do I support the old me? Right. And so I thought about all of the different things that I did as an HR manager and recruiting, bringing people into organization. That's what I'm about. And then not just bringing them, but helping them, developing them so they can continue to bring their best self to work. And that's what I do. So my main product are training and development and recruiting. And so because I do that, I'm never working. I'm just enjoying what I do. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. Because it is so important, isn't it, in this world to do the CPD. And I just think I'm actually training with regards to therapy. And I love to do the constant like journaling and constant reflecting, because that is kind of my CPD. And I feel like when people do that personal development and that personal growth, it then helps them to just flourish. So that's absolutely beautiful. Now, yeah. I'm going to go back a little bit in terms of, you said you've been in this industry over 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years ago, what got you into this industry?
You know, I kind of like got in there by mistake. I've always wanted to help people. I started, I was working for an organization that I was doing a counseling. I did 3 years of counseling, trying to get my master's. The company decided not to pay for my degree. So I kind of naturally said, how can I utilize this skill that I've already started to, I've started to learn in. And I'm like, HR is good. So I went and did my master's in training and development. And I just fell in love with HR. So it's like, I think this is it was a great change for me from what I wanted to do. And I haven't looked back ever since, you know?
Really interesting. And I love the fact that you just said that you fell into this by mistake, because that's interesting. So before that, what was your aim? What did you want to do before that? What was your aim? What was your focus?
I thought I was going to do my second, I started in, as a pre-med, then fell into counseling. And then when my organization made the decision to not pay for it, it was like, I'll pay for something for business, but not for counseling. Oh, I'm like, okay, I can't afford to continue counseling on my own. So let's do HR. And I'm like, okay, that's close enough to the counseling. Hmm. And then it's just like, it's just been so awesome. I did recruiting, you know, fell into, there's at the time my company was starting diversity and inclusion. Yeah. And so we were bringing young college, high kids who just graduated from high school, mm-hmm. going into college, can bring them into the organization to do internship. So I start helping with recruiting for that. Yeah. So I fell in love with recruiting. And then I got a role and brought myself right into HR. So I've never looked back. I just love working in HR. I love helping people. I love the more than helping people, what it does for me, you know, mm-hmm. the satisfaction that you have when you are working in something that you truly love, you yeah. know, you're helping people becoming, doing what they love. You know, you bring people into an organization and say, you know, what do you want to do? How do you help that organization be better? And then as you are helping the organization, you're really helping yourself because the satisfaction of getting something done. So I love it. I love this field. I think there's great potential in this field. And I find it a privilege to help other people, just help them figure out who they are. You know, how do they show up? Great, you know, so how do they show up every day and help the organization that they choose to work with, work in, become more successful? The organization's success is their success. So,
you know, what's really interesting is what I'm hearing as you're speaking is, for me, there's a connection between being a counselor and being a HR manager and that whole idea of helping people, but it's in a different way. But in mm-hmm. the same way, you're still in service to others. Yeah. So it's like you made a decision to walk a path to be in service to help mm-hmm. others grow, you know? And what's interesting, I think you said to me, like, you know, when we were off camera, we were talking about your father, and your father was a minister. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's really interesting, that connection of your father and the work that you're doing now. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. My dad, he was an amazing man. He was a pastor for 65 years. Mm-hmm. He has a ministry in Haiti that is right now it's 130 churches, 18 schools. We have 6 orphanages. It's a huge ministry. And what is great about it is that he always saw himself helping others, giving, and he always felt like he got more helping others. By helping others, he got more than what he gave, mm-hmm. you know? He was just an instrument for the vessel that God was using to help other people. So he and my mom, they were just amazing people, and they left an awesome legacy. And right now, the beauty of it is that I felt like he planted a lot of seed in people. And right now, they are rising up and they are helping to keep his legacy moving forward. So it's really, I am here in Chicago. Things are happening in Haiti. So I am supporting people in Haiti. Right now, I'm helping mainly with the schools, making sure that they continue to run. Yeah. But it's just like we have some great people on our path. And my parents, they're just, oh, I love them. My mom, it'll be December 7th will be 1 year since she went to be with the Lord. My dad passed away July 3rd. So this, you know, this year, 2020. It's still raw. I still miss them. I lost a brother in June as well. So this year we had lots and lots of loss, but I'm just so thankful that I get to see them again someday. I believe that I'm going to see them again. I believe they're in a better place. And the faith, knowing that I will see them, give me hope that, you know, even when I'm sad, I miss them. I know that they are not gone forever. So he's awesome. He was awesome.
You know, thank you for sharing that with me, Sarah. And, you know, that warms my heart as well, because it's almost like my father always just say, you know, some people that when they pass away, everyone's with you in spirit, you know, they're still mm-hmm. with you, you know, they're walking alongside you and you're connected with them in kind of with their memories, you know, with everything they've given to you, and your father's gift is still living in some mm-hmm. way, you know, and your mother's gift is all living within you and the work that you're doing. So that's just kind of beautiful, really. I want to dial back to
kind of go back to you as a child and mm-hmm. understand what you were like growing up. What was growing up like in Haiti? And you know, how old were you when you left Haiti as well? So what was it growing up like?
It was, my house was always full of people. Mm-hmm. That's the way my parents had it. There were 9 biological children. In addition to us, because of the orphanages, until they were able to actually build a orphanage, our home always had kids. When my mom died, my mom died at 78, and she had about 15 kids still at her house. And she didn't, her youngest is 34. You know, oh my gosh, you're gonna kill me for saying this on camera. 41. So it's like, they love people. My parents love people. And I think that's where I love people around me. You know, I'm an introvert, but it's like, I just love, there's a connection that you can't get by yourself. And you need, you know, that energy is there with them. So growing up in Haiti, I always had people around me. I moved to the United States when I was 11 years old. Uh-huh. And I lived with my sister and her family. And then I lived with my brother a little bit. My sister is in Florida. Then I lived with my brother in Texas for a little bit. I've been in Chicagoland since I was 18, basically after high school. I moved to Chicago for college, for Chicago, Illinois, I would say. And I've been there ever since. So, but, you know, so yeah, it's just been I had a happy childhood. My childhood was really centered around church and church activities. And I would say it's still around church and church activity till today. I would say there's nothing other than the fact that, you know, I miss my parents. I grew up a lot with my siblings. My parents were very active in my life. Even they were not there, but they were there. You know, even when they were not there, they were there. I've always known that they were a phone call away. I miss having them day to day. And I think I didn't realize this until I started doing psychology and stuff. And I started feeling that how I missed them growing up every day with them. But yeah, they were amazing people.
But it sounds like it. And it's interesting, even the tone of your voice changes when you talk about Haiti. And when you're talking about mum and dad, just because I'm just listening, there's a little bit of a, ooh, the high pitch kicks in. And that, so that's like a feeling of excitement and warmth. And I can almost feel it, which is so beautiful. But I'm going to ask a question about, I mean, you mentioned grief as well. You mentioned, and I know myself, I've experienced that with mum and dad too. And it's, you know, it's a difficult, it's a heavy weight. But other than the grief, or maybe alongside the grief, what have been the biggest challenges in your life?
In regards to my dad or just in general?
In regards to life in general, yeah, for you, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Biggest grief, I would say going through college years were tough because I put myself through college. And so, you know, being able to take care of yourself, I had this thing that I'm not going back to Florida. I'm not going back to my sister. I need to figure it out. So mm-hmm. I think that stubbornness, probably I struggled a little bit, you know. I would say when it was time to have children, I couldn't have kids for a long time. So going through that process, that was very painful. Yeah, I think I would say those are the, right now, I think I have moments of very grief. I it's very raw because my dad passed away in July.
Yes.
I am not sad that, I'm sad that he's not here every day. I'm sad the way he died. My dad died of COVID.
Oh, God.
And so that was painful. Mm. My brother Enoch was sick for 5 days of what we thought was okay in June. Mm. And he passed away 5 days later from COVID.
Wow.
We had 5 days later, I had another brother that fell sick. He didn't pass away, praise God, but he was in the hospital for 18 days, right, in ICU. And then, so in that period of about 45 days, I lost 6 family members.
Wow.
And so that in itself is, you don't know what you feel. You know, you get to a point like when my brother Enoch passed away in June, my heart broke. My heart literally broke. I could not get out of bed for a week. But when I heard my second brother got sick, it's just like, I got up like that. And I start praying and start interceding on his behalf. And then my dad got sick. It's like, then you like, if I cry, I have no idea who I'm crying for.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I have. Yeah. So, and from that perspective, I think in anything that I've done in my life, I think this year, the pain, and it's still raw.
Yeah.
I think that would be the hardest. It's just like too much close together and you just can't figure out, you know, oh my gosh, I miss my brother. I miss my mom who died in December. Oh my gosh, I miss my brother-in-law. I miss my dad. It's just my cousins. It's just like, just too much all at once. And I think the intensity of that pain this year is probably worse than, you know, the other ones, because one, I've overcome the other ones. I've come out on the other side of it. And I think time heals too. You kind of see in a different perspective, because then you can see, you know, the lesson you learned through it, because you've already gone through it. Well, this one is still raw. So
no,
well, I would say it's still intense. Does that make sense?
Of course it does, my love. And thank you for sharing that with me, because I feel there's an awareness right now, isn't there? Because a lot of people have very mixed feelings with regards to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And just by your story, it's made it very real, do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of people in my family have passed away this year. Only one I felt that was COVID related, but they haven't been as close to me. But I do understand grief. So I feel like it sounds to me like it's just, you know, it's really tough. It is really tough. It's very raw. But also for me, I've been reflecting on the year. I've been reflecting on last year in terms of all the things that have happened, COVID being one of them. Mm-hmm. And I suppose of a lot of people, grief has affected a lot of people in various different ways, whether it has been through family members, mm-hmm. or loss of work and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just seeing that you are incredibly resilient. When you said you put yourself through college,
mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, you had to because you're not going back. And then you said, you know, you slept for a while, but then you got up. I could totally resonate with that, because I slept too. And my mum and dad had passed. I'd drop the kids off to school, come home and sleep,
mm-hmm.
and then get out of bed when it's time to get them up, because I didn't know what else to do. And then something like a light, I see it as a light just beamed and said, you know what, Tanya, you got to keep going. You got to keep going for them. You got to keep, and that's why I'm saying, like, these things happen, but then there is so much light in our children. We're thinking, this is what we're living for, this is what we're working for. And if you haven't got children, it could be your partner, it could be the next generation. And then, but it's got to start with yourself, isn't it? In terms of, yes, we got to keep going. We got to find our love. And it's what's beautiful is, it's almost like what's been born out of this beautiful business that you own. And I just see it as another, that you said your father has planted all these seeds,
mm-hmm.
within the ministry. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you've planted a seed, haven't you, with regards to your HR development company. And you've planted a seed that's going to be in service to others. And I'm sure that your family on the other side are helping you with this energy as well to kind of keep going. So I just wanted to give that to you, because I just think that you're just showing me such strength. And I want to move away from the challenges. I always ask about challenges, and it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But on this reflection, we've also had Black Lives Matter on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I just want to give everything love because we've gone through so much. It's just all about giving this whole approach love and people coming together. But that, did that feel heavier for you when we were going through all of that with the Black Lives Matter as well?
Oh my God. And I think when you're thinking about pain, you're thinking about what do you feel, and the pain that I feel is not only, yes, I think just what's been going on in the world is enough to be painful for anyone.
Yeah.
You know, Black woman in America is like, oh my gosh, in the world, you know, watching what's happening with our men. You know, Trayvon Martin, I was pregnant with my son when that whole thing went down. Every time I hear his name, it's like it triggers something in me. And my son, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, when something happened, you're like, Lord, please watch over my husband. He just went to the store, just bring him back, you know? And having conversation with your young kids about young boys and all my kids about what to do if something were to happen, if somebody talked to you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, just stop. They tell you to stop. You know, it's like, I shouldn't have to talk to a six-year-old about stuff like that, but you do. And it takes a certain level of innocence. I think what's happening with Black Lives Matters, it matters. Yes, some people will say every life matters. Yes, every life matters. But right now, Black life doesn't, you know, there's somehow in the a totem pole, somehow in other people's view, it's less. So I think this year with everything that I've gone through, just this the pandemic and what's happening with Black people around the world is enough, or in America is enough to make somebody depressed. Mm. And then now you add all of the COVID personal things on top of it. It's like, Holy Spirit, just give me a reason, help me to get up in the morning, you know? Mm. And I think, there's a lot. There's something got to give.
Of course. So what is your light through that? What is, you know, because you find your strength. So what keeps you going? What makes you smile?
What makes me smile is that the hope is something that makes me smile. But yes, I'm struggling right now. And I see, I am hoping for a better tomorrow. And I think that is in itself. I'm starting a business. I am hoping that I'm going to be able to bring product that's going to serve people, that get me the energy to go. You know, I have an incredible support system. My children are amazing. When they see me laying and they see me hurt, they all will come and cuddle, you know, and there, that's my husband is there to support, my siblings are there. So we are supporting each other through that. It's almost like when, if I'm down, I talk to my sisters every day. If they feel like I'm down, and I'll be getting calls on the hour. And if they are down, I'm calling them on the hour, you know what I mean? Instead of once or twice. So we are there as a support system for each other, because some days you're great and some days you're not, you know? And I think the same thing too with what's happening in the world. I'm checking on my friends and they are checking up on me. So it's a whole circle thing. It's like, hey, you know, what's going on? Hey, where's your son? Where is he? I know he works at night, but is he home yet? You know, just send me text, just checking. Mm-hmm. And, 'cause you don't know. I think that we are trying not to let the fear cripple us, and that's what it is. If you let the fear cripple, then I mean the system went, something else went. So we have to figure out what get us going, and whatever that is, cling on to it.
You know what? You've made it so real to me, because obviously I don't live in the States, and it's interesting, I haven't had that conversation with my children as yet. Because they still don't understand. My little girl did this beautiful drawing, actually, of a black hand and a white hand holding hand, and I found myself in tears, you know, because she just didn't understand it whatsoever, you know. But when you talk about this, you just listening to you, it just sounds so real. But what's beautiful is that sense of community, mm-hmm. and that sense of togetherness. And I think that's really special, because some people, you know, different cultures, different backgrounds, some people don't have that community or that, you know, you said you have your family, you know, you have your immediate family, but then you have your community as well. And I think that is what Bob Marley would say as have an ancestry in Jamaica. Bob Marley would say that is wealth. So it's not about money. Yeah. It's about your family. It's about your children. And it's about your community. So I'm looking at you as a very wealthy woman right now, you know, wow. Bob Marley's terms, right? Yeah. And that is just beautiful. So, you know, I had to bring Bob into it because I just love Bob. And, you know, may you rest in peace, but his music lives on and his words live on. And as you're thinking about this current situation, you said hope. And I think that's beautiful, believing in hope, because hope, optimism, positivity, it's something we all need in life. And I do feel really positive about your company and positive about what you've got moving forward. And if it feels to me like there's a lot of abundance to come in your path as we go into, this will be aired in 2021. So we've just got to ask for the abundance to keep flowing into your into your energy, my love. But who, I mean, I've just talked about Bob because I've gone off, because I do go off. That's why I say it's a conversation. It's a conversation. It's not an interview. It's a conversation, because I do like to chat. But to bring that, who is your inspirer?
Who inspires me? I find my belief inspires me. Who I believe in is the source of my inspiration. I would say from my parents are my inspires me. Because I see them come from humble beginning, yet they cling to a hope and they continue to move based on the call that they feel they had. And so that is inspiration from somebody that I can see and hear.
Yeah.
A lot of time when people say, who inspires you? Some people are looking for, you know, like someone famous and stuff like this. But me, I like to cling on the people that are making the impact in my life right now. You know, the other day, yesterday I posted about mentors. I think every mentor is the people who have paved the way for me that I can see, that I can hear, that I actually say, Sarah, you can do it. Those are the inspiration. Those leaders who are an organization that has stepped back and pulled me forward, or pull others forward who are doing it right. Those are the individual. I have a friend of mine, Angenetta Friesen. She inspires me. This girl, she is throwing resources at people all the time. You know, she is, she finds way to help others, you know, and I'll get a text. Hey girl, there's a webinar here. Why don't you get on it? I know you're looking to start this, you know? And I'm like, that is inspiration. You know, it's inspiring to think more than just you.
Yeah.
You know, it inspires me to do better.
Yeah.
To, when I see something that could benefit somebody else, do that. That's inspiration, you know?
Totally.
Did that answer your question?
I don't see how you're an introvert, Sarah. Honestly, you're a talker like me. I'm still trying to work that one out. Oh, bless you. But yeah,
once you get me talking on things that I'm passionate about, it just, you know, it comes out. Yeah. I have learned. I remember 20 some years ago, I was in a role. And my manager told me, Sarah, if you want to be successful in HR, you need to figure out how to speak. You need to figure out how to get outside of yourself. and yeah. just share. He was like, you have things to share, just share. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into a meeting with other, me and her one-on-one, we'll talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, saying a bunch of things. And then I'll get to the room and I'm just looking around and she was like, Sarah, you didn't say anything. And I'm like, and even now when I'm in a room, one-on-one, I'm awesome. I can work one-on-one. When you get into a room with a lot of people, I have to literally tell myself, you need to speak. I have to train myself. And ahead of time, I'm telling myself, you have to share. You have to share. You have to share. So yes, so this is the perfect, me and you, just us, that's fine. Add five more people, we'll see.
You know, funny enough, you just made me think now, because I do say I'm an extrovert, but sometimes in a big crowd, I can be very quiet as well. And yeah. sit back, because I like to observe. And I suppose, you know what's interesting, when Mel Robbins talks about the 5-second rule, I always say, you know what, every black woman knows that rule anyway. That ain't nothing new. Because, you know, as from a professional perspective, when we're always in the room, we have to think before we speak in terms of how is that going to come across? Mm-hmm. With not wanting to insult or be misunderstood. Yeah. And it's a shame that you have to do it as a black woman. But that's the difference, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? In terms of sometimes having to think, and what you just said there in terms of sitting back, having to think about the situation, but when you're comfortable, your wisdom, it just flows. And I just want to say thank you for that today. And I totally agree with you when it comes to the inspiration, because I'm also inspired by my parents too. But there's so much people to be inspired by, isn't there? I mean, when you let go of your ego, as people let go of ego, mm-hmm. and we start to see the beauty in others, everyone around us can inspire us, you know, from our children, to, no matter how old you are, no matter what, you know, what your background is. And that was just so beautiful when you spoke about your parents, everybody else. So that's lovely. But because of time, I'm going to bring it to a close right now, Sarah. But I just want to say thank you very much for sharing your story. And thank you also for helping my audience to become aware of everything that happened in 2020, how real it was. And as we make our steps forward, I would say just to my audience to step forward with love, and just with everything that's gone on, with every hurdle, with every bump, is what I've given to my audience. Just give it love. Mm-hmm. Give it love. Yeah. And I think that's the way forward. If we all love each other, we come together as a community, that's the first start and that's the way forward. But thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's brilliant. Excellent. Yeah. From Taylor the Communication Doctor and Sarah Mittal. Adios.
Bye-bye.
1 of my takeaways from this show was, first of all, having to experience Sarah talk so passionately about having to support other people, but finding it a privilege to support other people was really, really key, especially as she's been in the business for over 20 years in HR. I love the idea of the hope, the optimism and positivity, and the energy, and using that energy to bring life into the situation. I also admired Sarah's resilience, because in 2020 she went through so much, the grief and the loss, but yet she still found it within her to find the strength, and I suppose the passion as well, to help other people and to build her business, doing exactly what she loves to do. So I just have so much to take away, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.